3, where the bad air goes.
Trigg turned and looked up at the figure standing in front of him. You. It was the piggy-eyed guard whose name he didn't remember, peering back at him through a pair of tinted, decidedly non-regulation optic shields.
What are you doing all the way back here?
Trigg tried to answer, but found his reply lodged somewhere just beneath his gullet. Kale stepped in, offering up an easy, disarming smile.
Just walking, sir. Was I talking to you, convict?
The guard said, and without waiting for an answer, pivoted his attention back to Trigg.
Well?
He's right, sir, Trigg said. We were just walking.
What? You're too good to move along with the rest of the scum?
We try to avoid scum whenever possible, Trigg said, and then added, Sir.
The guard's eyes slitted behind the lenses.
You yanking me, convict?
No, sir.
Cause the last maggot that yanked me is doing a month in the hole.
Understood, sir.
The guard glowered at him, twitching his head slightly to one side, as if searching out some angle at which Trigg's unblemished teenage face might somehow become threatening. Or even make sense, amid this larger mass of incarcerated criminals. Watching his expression, Trigg punished himself by imagining a glimmer of recognition in those squinty eyes. And for an instant, he thought how bizarre it might be if the guard had said,
You're Von Longo's boys, aren't you? I heard what happened to your father. He was a good man.
But of course, no guard on this barge thought Longo had been a good man, or even bothered to learn his name. And now he was dead, and already so completely forgotten that he might as well have never lived. And the guard just shook his head.
Move along,
the guard muttered, and walked away. The moment they were out of earshot, Kale elbowed Trigg in the shoulder.
We try to avoid scum whenever possible.
A tiny grin dimpled the corners of Kale's mouth.
What? Did you just make that up on the spot?
Trigg was unable to restrain a smile of his own. It felt liberating, probably because he couldn't remember the last time he'd allowed himself anything less than a troubled grimace.
You think he bought it?
I think you almost bought it.
Kale reached up without looking over and tousled his fingers through Trigg's hair.
Keep smarting off like that, convict, and you will be down in solitary with the real dangerous types.
I hear there's a couple of hard guys down there now locked up tight, Trigg said. Could be our future customers.
Kale favored him with a glance of approval.
You've got a lot more of dad in you than I thought, he said.
And with one last look at the prisoners in front of them, nodded ever so slightly to the left.
Come on, follow me. And don't get crazy, okay?
Sure.
Trigg sensed Kale slowing his pace, dropping back several strides, scarcely enough to be noticed, and adjusted his step to match his brother's. Up ahead, the main concourse broke off into three prongs, branching off into a series of lesser throughways that crisscrossed the detention levels at every imaginable vector and angle. During his time aboard, Trigg had made it his business to learn as much about the Purge's layout as possible. Eavesdropping on conversations between guards and maintenance droids, he learned early on that there were 6 main detention levels, each one housing about 20 to 30 individual holding cells. Above that was the mess hall, followed by the admin offices, prison staff quarters, and the infirmary. Nobody talked much about solitary, down at the bottom of the barge. Nor was there much speculation about the literally hundreds of meters of narrow access routes, sublevels, and dimly lit concourses that honeycombed every level. Falling into single file, Kale and Trigg slipped through an open gateway, striding along the damp prefab walls, down a flight of steps, deeper in the jaundiced subcutaneous bowels of Gen Pop. The air down here immediately became thicker, darker, and dramatically less breathable, on its way to an array of refurbished air scrubbers before circulating back through the barge.
Well, well, a voice said. The Longo brothers ride again.
Trigg caught a quick breath, hoping it didn't sound like a gasp. In front of him, Kale froze, instinctively extending a hand behind him, and both of them peered into the open space that made up their immediate future. It took no extra time for Trigg's vision to adjust. He could already make out the forms of several inmates, all members of the Delphanian Face Gang, and in front of them, or Miss. Whether Miss's nearly vertical sneer was a genetic accident or the result of one of his legendary knife fights was a matter of perpetual speculation among the other inmates. Below the flattened suede accordion of his nose, a row of mismatched tribal piercings dangled from the drooping lower lip. Collected like trophies from all the other crew leaders while Miss and his boss, Sixtus Cleft, had slowly consolidated the Face Gang's position as the Purge's preeminent prison crew.
"You're right on time," Miss said,
piercings jingling as he spoke. Kale nodded.
"We're always prompt."
"An admirable trait for a prison rat."
"That's why you chose to do business with us."
"One of many reasons,"
Miss said.
"I'm sure."
Kale smiled.
"Did you bring the payment?"
"Oh, yes."
Miss produced a sibilant gurgle that might have been laughter and extended one spade claw hand, pointing down at the empty floor in front of him.
"It's right there, in front of you. Don't you see it?"
Trigg sensed, or perhaps only imagined, his older brother stiffening, preparing for trouble, and willed Kale to stay calm. It appeared to work. For the time being, at least, Kale kept his posture erect and didn't look away, careful to keep his own voice steady and calm.
"Is this some kind of a joke?"
"Perhaps."
Miss looked at the Delphanian foot soldiers standing on either side of him, grinning and sniggering.
"Maybe you just don't share our sense of humor."
"Our deal with Sixtus..."
"Sixtus is dead."
Kale stared at him.
"What?"
"A terrible tragedy."
Miss was almost whispering, and the mushy sibilance in between words, Trigg realized, was definitely laughter this time, accompanied by the faint metallic jingle of his piercings.
"ICO Wembley found him in his cell this morning, with his throat slashed. I'm the new skipper now."
He stopped, and then his voice abruptly frosted over.
"And alas, the terms of our deal have changed."
"You can't do that,"
Trigg cut in, unable to hold back any longer.
"Sixtus and our dad..."
"No, it's all right,"
Kale said, still not taking his eyes off Miss. And when he spoke again, he sounded absolutely calm.
"I'm just sorry things worked out this way."
Miss appeared genuinely curious.
"Oh?"
"None of this is necessary."
Kale's voice was so casual it was almost like listening to their father talk. That same mellifluous, "we can work this out" inflection that had gotten them out of so many dicey exchanges in the past.
"We've built a mutually beneficial relationship here. It's crazy to jeopardize it with rash decisions."
"Rash decisions?"
Kale waved a hand in the air.
"Of course, we'll be happy to tell you where the blasters and power packs are hidden. Free of charge. Take them with my compliments. Consider it my gift to you as the new leader of the Face Gang. And everyone walks out of here to do business another day."
"A generous proposal."
Miss seemed to consider the idea for a long moment.
"There's only one problem."
"What's that?"
Miss glanced at the Delphanian inmates slathering next to him on either side.
"I already promised my men that they could kill you."
"I see."
Kale hove up a dramatic sigh.
"In that case, I guess we don't have a deal, huh?"
"No."
"I suppose there's only one thing left to do."
Or Miss tilted his chin upward slightly.
"And that would be..."
At first, none of them moved, and Trigg had no idea what was going to happen. Then, before he realized it, Kale's hand blurred forward, moving faster than Trigg could even see, his fingers hooking down to rip the piercings out of Miss's face. The Delphanian shrieked in surprise and pain, and one of his hands flew up to cover his wounded, spurting lips and nose. Simultaneously, the two inmates who had been flanking him burst forward in a rush. And Kale grabbed his brother's shoulder, spun him hard around, and thrust him back in the direction they'd come.
Run!
Kale shouted, and they did. Trigg first, Kale behind him, both of them flying back up the corridor they'd just come down. Behind them, the Delphanian's boots clanged off the metal floor, and Trigg could hear them shouting, coming closer. There was no way he and his brother could possibly outrun them, and even if by some quirk of fate they did escape, Orr Miss would be waiting for them tomorrow, and the next day, and... Rounding the bend, Trigg almost collided with a guard standing directly in front of him. The ICO put up both hands in a reflexive warding-off gesture, and the sudden stop that kept Trigg from slamming into him was followed an instant later by Kale hitting him from behind.
"What's going on here?"
the guard asked.
"Nothing, sir. We just..."
Trigg started, and it occurred to him that there was no reason why the guards should be this far down the walkways to begin with. And then, between the pounding rhythm of his own heart, he realized something else. The purge had fallen absolutely silent. The vibrations that had unsettled him, broadcasting their emanations up through the bones of his feet, ankles, and knees, had gone completely still. For the first time since he'd come aboard, the engines had stopped.